You must have noticed the trend by now too. PewDiePie, Linus Tech Tips, The Verge and beyond, everyone is talking about switching to Linux. Their comment sections seem intrigued for once as well, and gaming especially seems to be making a breakthrough on the platform. The year of the Linux desktop is kind of a meme that we've dismissed for a long time, but especially for gaming, it seems like we're actually at a tipping point now. So I got a Steam Deck that is running SteamOS, which is Linux-based, and I also installed Linux on a Lenovo Legion Go S and also on a gaming laptop called the Legion 7 to see what the excitement was all about. And as you know me, I care about the business and the strategic decisions that lead to the rise of a new technology at least as much as I care about the user experience itself, so I had to dig into that too. Which for gaming on Linux turned out to be a real surprise. Disclaimer, one of my viewers actually lent me his Steam Deck, thanks Jan, and meanwhile the Legion machines were sent to me by Lenovo as a loan, and as far as I know, they're both going back to the company once I'm done. My sponsor for the video is Nebula and no one else. So the first instinct I had when I heard about people talking about the rise of Linux gaming was to check whether such a thing was actually happening or if all of this was just talk. Now, getting hard numbers about an operating system where one of the main selling points is that there's no tracking can be a little bit tricky, but we do have a few pointers. First, IDC estimated that the Steam Deck, the kind of poster child of Linux gaming, had sold somewhere in the neighborhood of 4 million devices in the beginning of this year, which by now is probably closer to 5 million. That is definitely not nothing, but compared to other game consoles, it's actually a very modest figure. Next, we have the Steam Hardware Survey, which tells us all kinds of things about what devices the Steam Store is actively used on. At the time of writing, Linux made up a bit over 3% of users on Steam. That puts it ahead of macOS with its 2% share, but once again, far behind Windows. Now Valve, the company behind Steam, is also the company that pushed for technologies like Proton, which kind of make gaming on a large scale on Linux possible in the first place, so we're kind of assuming that most people who are gaming on Linux are also gonna be on Steam, more or less. Valve says that Steam has about 30 to 40 million concurrent users depending on the time of the day, and 3.2% of that would be about 1.3 million concurrent Linux users at peak. Now, most estimates that I've seen claim that Steam in total has about 200 million users, and that would mean that in total there'd be around 67 million people who use Steam on Linux. Now, is that a lot? Honestly, not really, but there are some good news. GamingOnLinux.com put the Steam figures into a historic timeline, which allows us to see that Linux hovered at around 1% for a long time until the Steam Deck released, and then with the release of that, plus the OLED deck, plus also the end of Windows 10, there's been a really clear growth, more than tripling the share of Linux in about 3 years. That's definitely something. Then another interesting thing to look at is the actual distribution of Linux users on Steam. You can see that SteamOS, which is of course running on the Steam Deck, is leading the chart for now with about 26%. Now, I would have expected this number to be even higher because I kind of expected the Steam Deck to just be the majority of Linux gaming, but they're clearly not the only one. In the list, we can also see other distros that people use, and I want to point out Bezite at around 5-6%. Bezite is a very easy to pick up distro that is designed for this kind of new group of wannabe Linux gaming converts like me, as this is also what I installed on my Legion 7i review unit, and unlike most, Bezite actually shares their own usage numbers, and here too we can see a very clear trend. They claim that they have more than tripled the number of weekly active users from around 13,000 to 46,000 in just the last 8 months. Now again, these are systems that are actually actively using Bezite, not just downloads or whatever, and while 46,000 pales in comparison to most things in the Windows world, the trend is again pretty clear. Also, Bezite explicitly claims that the majority of their downloads are coming from Windows, meaning these are actually people who are actively being converted rather than people who are just distro hopping on Linux. So overall then, having looked at all of these numbers, I can give you three pretty clear conclusions. First, Linux gaming is still very much a niche thing. There are probably no more than a few million people doing it actively, which is less than even consoles that are considered to be flops. Number two, that niche though is now definitely growing, and growth is seemingly accelerating. And number three, while the growth was, I think, primarily driven by the Steam Deck at first, it now seems to increasingly be driven by people actually installing Linux on their PCs, probably in part as a reaction to Windows 10 being phased out. I think there's a genuinely good chance that what we're looking at is kind of the beginning of the hockey stick moment. And so I wanted to first tell you what my experience with Linux gaming has been like, and then to talk about how the business models of Valve and Microsoft have been shaping this. So I'm not traditionally a laptop reviewer, and the benchmarking is a whole art form to itself, so I'll just leave the exact numbers to the pros. That said, my overall experience as a sort of normie PC gamer making the switch for the first time in a kind of serious way, I think is exactly right for this video. So let's start with the Steam Deck that is obviously running SteamOS, which is a specialized version of Arch Linux that has been configured so that it boots into this full-screen console-like Steam environment, and both the performance and the UI have been heavily optimized for the form factor. Now in the background, you still have a full Linux desktop that you can switch to if you want to, and this includes also the ability to install regular desktop apps like a full web browser, but also other game libraries for PCs. I installed something called the Heroic Launcher, which let me successfully install my games from GOG, including Cyberpunk, and also my two Heroes of Might and Magic games. Nice! Almost all of the games that you'll encounter on Linux are actually Windows versions that run through some version of Proton, a compatibility layer that is developed primarily by Valve that lets you run the Windows games on Linux instead, and this works remarkably well for the most part. You kind of don't even notice that it's happening. Combined with the fact that many games like Cyberpunk have a specific performance preset that kinda just says Steam Deck even if I download them from another game store like GOG, and I often get an experience that just works really well out of the box. The Steam Deck is also famous for letting you reliably put it to sleep and to wake it up with a press of a button even mid-game, and so overall what you're left with is a pretty magical feeling little machine indeed. People who use the Steam Deck often really seem to like the Steam Deck, and I can certainly see why. It's a machine unlike any other, but that said, not everything is optimal on it either. To start with, I've encountered random bugs here, including my controller being mapped badly or not working in a game, or a game launching, for example, with some of its UI being off-screen. Usually you can fix things by tweaking your settings, and there's a site called ProtonDB where other gamers share what tweaks that they have applied to make things work, but there's a good chance that you have to juggle multiple versions of Proton, handle some short scripts, delete and move around some DLLs, etc. In other words, you have to be willing to tinker. And of course, the biggest catch is that some games, and especially those that lean into heavy online multiplayer game modes, often won't work at all, primarily because they rely on kernel-level anti-cheat software, which Linux just doesn't support. Now, this is basically spy software that is installed along your game with kernel-level access to your machine, and depending on who you ask, it is either designed to detect suspicious behavior and bot software that's installed on your Windows PC, or it's just a gigantic data-harvesting conspiracy that evil corporations use to do their evil corporate stuff. You can guess where on that spectrum most Linux users typically fall. I think the answer is probably somewhere in the middle, but either way, the game makers don't seem interested in giving up on it for now, and so games like Fortnite, Battlefield, or League of Legends just refuse to play on Linux with no known path for a solution. I personally don't play any multiplayer games, so for me this is a complete non-issue, but it might be a complete deal-breaker for some. Now, the Legion GoS has official builds for both SteamOS and also Windows, plus even Bezite, so you get a lot of flexibility here. I much prefer the hardware here over the Steam Deck, by the way, and especially the screen, and I tried both Windows and Linux on it, and I think the trade-offs are pretty clear. On the plus side for Windows, it's of course really nice that everything just works. Not some of your games, some of the time, but all of them, plus you also have a Windows PC if you want that too. As a casual gamer, I thought that the Lenovo Windows utilities that try to turn your machine into more of a gaming console experience worked mostly fine for now too, while the more sophisticated Xbox full screen experience that launched on the Xbox ROG Ally is coming to this device soon too. This will disable most of the Windows desktop in the background to free up resources, and it should offer a much more console-like gaming experience. As somebody who grew up with Windows, I honestly didn't find managing Windows significantly more annoying than having to tinker with things and settings and everything on Linux, but this is a statement that I think might get me crucified by people who really love their Steam Decks, so just pretend that I didn't say that and let's move on. I think the real problem for Windows from a purely usability perspective is that first, unlike with the SteamOS, sleep is just completely unreliable here, with the machine often just randomly waking itself up, and second, the fact that Windows is clearly not optimized for this low power form factor. While Windows supposedly runs games better on desktops, I got more consistent performance from Cyberpunk on a 15-watt Steam Deck running through Proton than I got from the same game running natively on Windows at 33 watts. Yikes. Now, to be fair, in many games that I actually want to play on this form factor, the difference is kind of irrelevant, like Hades, for example, plays beautifully in both, but yeah, SteamOS overall feels significantly more optimized. And to round things up, I also installed Bezite on the Legion 7i that Lenovo sent me. And this personally appealed to me even more than the handhelds. Turns out I'm kind of just a keyboard and mouse kind of guy. I thought I'd really enjoy sitting on a couch and playing a game for once, but alas, no. Anyway, the best thing about Bezite is that everything about it is just so easy. You just go to the website, you select your hardware, and you get the right version straight away. You then flash it from a USB drive, and everything kind of just works. Lenovo randomly sent me a machine with an Intel CPU and also an NVIDIA GPU, which is like the worst case scenario for Linux, as AMD typically has much better drivers, but I got zero issues so far, and everything from Bluetooth to Wi-Fi to the webcam and more kind of just work. Also, Bezite is what's called an immutable distro, which kind of prevents you from messing your system up too badly. It already comes with SteamOS and Proton pre-installed, and everything else is easily downloadable via Bazaar. Heroic for playing Epic games, GOG and Amazon for everything else, and so on, and all of the setup is just as easy as it it is on the Steam Deck. Again, I'm not a benchmarker, but other channels are saying that on more powerful systems like this one, and especially on ones with Nvidia cards, the performance crown actually flips back to Windows again, and sometimes significantly so. Though I guess if Linux gaming continues to grow, then driver support will follow, and the performance should eventually catch up. Of course, it depends on what exact game that you're trying to play, but everything that I tried worked pretty well, and I guess it just means that modern gaming hardware is so overpowered that it just plays everything that I want anyway. I actually used this laptop with Bazite daily for about 2 weeks, browsing and writing scripts and all, and it was a blast. This is a ridiculously nice laptop in terms of hardware, which I was happy to see working well with Linux, and the only reason why I can't quite switch yet is that video and image editing, which is what I do for a living, is still a little bit hit and miss compared to Windows. But if you mostly play games, and if the ones that you play are actually supported by Linux, then my overall takeaway is that Linux is now a totally legit platform for anything from handhelds to laptops, desktops, and more. Which got me thinking, how the hell did that happen? Why did Linux kind of languish for decades and then suddenly work out now? Well, I think it can best be explained by business models and a very specific analogy. Think about Android, which actually consists of two distinct parts. First is what's called AOSP, or the Android Open Source Project. This is, strictly speaking, the operating system itself. It includes the kernel, the drivers, much of the user interface, etc. Meanwhile, the second part is what I'll call the Google Services layer. This includes the Google Play Store, the pre-installed Google Apps, payment services, and just as importantly, a ton of different background services from Google that hook into almost all modern apps powering push notifications, location services, APIs to let your bank check if your phone hasn't been tampered with, etc. When most people think of Android, they tend to think of the first part. After all, that's the actual operating system. But I think the real power lies with the second part. This is why Google can afford to make AOSP mostly open source and free, and yet nobody has successfully built a competitor to them outside of China. Amazon came closest with Fire OS, which was just AOSP with Amazon services on top, but that has hardly been a resounding success. Google makes all of its money through the Google Services layer, it owns the customer and the payment relationships between all of its users and its developers, and the network effect of the ecosystem that it's built is basically unbeatable. If tomorrow Google announced that they swapped out the underlying operating system to something like Fuchsia, like they were planning to, or if Samsung could swap it out for Tizen and somehow still keep the Google services and the accompanying app ecosystem intact, people would just accept that. You and I might notice because, you know, we're nerds, but most people probably wouldn't even really notice. Like, they mostly just care about their apps and their services, and of course those are intentionally tied to the Google empire, not the Android open source empire. For PC gaming, Windows has long been the core operating system, but Steam was slowly becoming the services layer that is tying it all together. Yes, there are competing game stores and launchers and all, but realistically, Steam is the center of the PC gaming universe. Exact numbers are hard to come by, but in a recent survey, 88% of gaming studios said that Steam accounted for at least 75% of their revenue. In other words, almost everyone buys almost all of their games from Steam. Steam's game library, payment processing, review system, updates, and cloud syncing for save files and so on are to PC gaming basically what Google services are to Android. This is where the real power resides. So a while ago, Valve must have realized that they hold all the cards. They already own all the customer relationships. Why would they be playing on somebody else's operating system? As we've seen, the operating system on a technical layer can more or less be emulated, if you write good enough compatibility software, that is. And because Steam is also obscenely profitable, taking not only 10 to 30% of every game purchase, but also in-game purchases of what often amount to be in-game casinos, they had all the money in the world to finance this emulation. And not only that, but Valve is also structured in a way to make very long-term bets actually possible. The majority shareholder of the company is Gabe Newell, their CEO, and the rest of the shares are mostly distributed among employees. These people are not only obviously PC gamers themselves, they can also afford to make long-term decisions. There are no quarterly reports to make random stock market analysts happy. Gabe first went on stage in 2013 declaring that he thought Linux gaming was the future, and then he spent the last 12 to 13 years trying to make it work. Financing the development of Proton and supporting underlying technologies like OpenCL and Vulkan for over a decade didn't pay off immediately, but they are slowly starting to bear fruit. And meanwhile, I think the Steam Deck follows this path too. A public tech giant like Google or Microsoft would likely see the launch of a brand new console with barely a million units in sales a year a flop, especially if they had spent more than a decade building up to it. The product would join their graveyard real quick, but Valve can actually afford to play a long game, and this way they can see that eventually they might get a big payoff. As for the future, I have three big predictions. One is for hardware, the second is for how Microsoft will fight back, and the third is for sales. But that's a bit beyond the scope of this video, so if you want to hear those, I made a whole separate video about it that you can watch exclusively on Nebula. Fun fact, we've just launched free trials over there, where for 3 days you can watch anything that you want on Nebula. We think there's enough cool stuff on the platform that you'll convert and you'll want to both keep watching and also keep supporting us. And if you want to start your trial, I actually have some recommendations for you to watch. Dinner Plan is a perfect holiday movie that we've just launched. It's a proper big budget movie that is hilarious and also purpose made to be watched over the holidays with your family. Maybe after an awkward dinner? Next, I suggest 17 Pages, which is an amazing documentary about massive scientific fraud, and it has the coolest twist that you'll have seen in any documentary, perhaps ever, I think. We built a whole extra streaming feature for it. Then, of course, you can watch the bonus video for this episode. And meanwhile, every Friday, I also do an extra Q&A session at the end of every Friday checkout, with something like 3,000 to 4,000 people watch each week. It makes me very happy that so many of you like these longer deep dives. Now, I could keep going about jet lag and Technorama, but just start your trial and see what you like. Once you subscribe, you not only get access to a ton of exclusives, but also often early, ad-free videos, and perhaps just as importantly, you also directly support our work to help bring you even more. In this age of AI slop and disinformation, Nebula is a beacon of high-quality videos made by people who actually care, and it all happens with your support. And with my link in the description, go.nebula.tv/techaltar, the price of Nebula is now also down 50% to just $30 a year. Not a month, but a full year, which is an extremely good price. And also, if you hate ongoing subscriptions, we even offer a lifetime deal. So be sure to use my link to sign up and then watch the bonus video, and I hope that I'll see you over there. Bye.